In Kansas and Missouri, it's now common for a lot of politicians to not just proclaim their faith, but to openly push a pro-religious agenda. But for the past year, a Kansas City-based group has been trying to push back, although in a friendly way. The Kansas City Atheist Coalition tries to shake off the stereotypes of a bitter, angry atheism while they talk to the public about the value of a secular society and government. While they avoid confrontation and even do charity work, the coalition still finds it's hard to be a non-believer on the edge of the Bible Belt. Alex Smith has this story.
On a recent Saturday night at the Overland Park Sheraton, the Baltimore Ravens checked in while their fans crowded the lobby. A huge bat mitzvah filled one of the big ballrooms, and the Kansas City Atheist Coalition was in the middle of its weekend-long regional convention. It was held exactly 1 month before the November elections, and as Coalition Board Member Veronica Brown explains, that's no accident.
We've got the election coming up in about a month, so, and there are a lot of issues that are kind of bringing us together, especially a lot of feminist issues and just, you know, the kind of the intrusion of God into the government. It's just kind of like, no, we want to all get along. Remember, we're citizens too. We're very important, you know, and just kind of trying to exercise our voice a little bit.
The convention, which was called Atheist and Patriot, hosted speakers from around the country. Their topics included things like reproductive rights, sex and politics, and school vouchers supporting religious education. There were also workshops to teach lobbying and fundraising techniques. Most of the convention addressed a trend that many attendees say has increased considerably in the past decade or so, religious fundamentalism in government.
At least back to 2004, it's been concerning me, and probably to 2000, there's just an increasing blurring of the lines, it seems to me, that certainly has an impact on the political scene and government in general.
Only one national-level politician, Representative Pete Stark of California, is openly atheist. But there's a long list of politicians who atheists say are blurring the line between church and state. When atheists are asked about the most troublesome of these, one name comes up again and again.
Well, you know, everybody loves to go back to Todd Akin, but he seems to be like a lightning rod for an anti-fundamentalist sentiment, because he expresses a lot of opinions that are about what a lot of us would refer to as dominionist policy. They say that their particular brand of Christianity is the one that should be running the government because they think they know what's best for everybody. I think that that's particularly dangerous. So when Akin says something like, you know, his particular views about rape or, you know, what brand of Christianity should be making decisions from the White House or in foreign policy and things like that, then I'm like, that's really dangerous, because I don't think that any one particular brand of religion has a monopoly on truth.
The Atheist and Patriot Convention is a regional one. Almost all of the 250 or so attendees came from either Kansas or Missouri. But the recent politics of these states gave the convention plenty of fuel for discussion. Conventioner Willard Bollinger says he's worried about states not teaching science. He mentions the recently passed Missouri Right to Pray Amendment 2, which allows students to opt out of school assignments that conflict with their faith.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on a test, and I can imagine corporations looking askance, kind of like when Kansas a number of years ago interfered in the science classes because they wanted creation taught in the science classes. They might look askance at whether they want to move here. I wonder about the kids, whether they're going to be able to qualify to get in colleges. I mean, this sounds like it could. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on this.
While the majority of the criticism at the convention was targeted toward conservative politicians and politics, Steve Olson says that politicians on both sides are ignoring separation of church and state.
We've actually seen with both Romney and Obama, they have neglected the separation of church and state with Obama's expansion of the faith-based initiatives that George Bush started.
Of course, in any place but an atheist convention, these people are in a small minority. While the number is gradually increasing, just about 5% of the U.S. population claims to be atheist. The organizers and participants of this convention say it gives them a chance to meet and express secular ideas that are usually vilified.
I think what happens is you tend to sort of stifle yourself in society at large, because traditionally there's been a practice of, you know, the dominating religion, Christianity. People feel pretty much free to say whatever they want, and they just sort of assume that everyone thinks the way they do. So I think there's a real disbelief and sort of abhorrence by people I've met if they realize that you have atheistic views.
A few days before the convention, the Kansas City Atheist Coalition's president, Sarah Hargreaves, came by KCUR to talk about the group. She and six others started the coalition in June of last year. Hargreaves says there have been skeptical and free thought groups in Kansas City for decades, but she wanted something different.
For those who may or may not be familiar with the skeptic or free thought community, it tends to be very male dominated, and the atheist community as well. And that becomes very easily apparent as soon as you attend any of these events. There's just more men in the room than women. And I began to ask myself, you know, why is this? You know, what's the reason? I didn't have necessarily an answer for that question, but I thought my, you know, idea was I bet there's a lot more skeptically minded women in the, you know, in Kansas City, and I bet they're just not coming to the events for one or another reason.
It turns out she was right. The Atheist Coalition now has 50 official members, including many women. And two or three times that many non-members have joined in their activities. Part of the group's mission is organizing social events to give members a chance to meet and talk. They hold get-togethers, picnics, and as Sarah explains, they actually have a December holiday party.
The winter holiday is a tradition, is a long-standing tradition. The winter solstice goes back to pagan tradition. So whenever we say holiday party, it's intentionally not specific. It's held in December. We held it in December. I mean, you know, the Christmas holiday is the majority of what Americans kind of acknowledge, but there's also the religious tradition of Hanukkah in the Jewish community. So it's really this winter solstice is a common tradition with a lot of different communities, religious and non-religious, and we're a part of the community too. We like to have parties, and so we embrace the opportunity to get together and have something where we're, you know, celebrating, you know, friendship and family and togetherness.
The coalition also works to give atheism a positive public face. In places like Westport, they hand out brochures, carry signs, and try to offer an alternative to street corner evangelists. Sarah says they hear a lot of support, but also plenty of hostility to their slogans and signs.
One of the more offensive ones that people caused a reaction out of people was simply a sign that said, "Smile, there is no hell." And even though I think, especially for a free thinker or a skeptic or an atheist, those messages are pretty tame, pretty non-confrontational, just to say something like there is no hell really elicits a pretty emotional reaction from a lot of people. And a lot of people just simply said things like, "There is a hell. There is hell. Hell is real." And a lot of people just say things like, "Jesus loves you." And one gentleman, though, drove by and he shouts out his window, "Praise Jesus and F you." A lot of people will cross themselves. Actually, at one event we had, a woman covered her daughter's eyes because apparently she didn't want her daughter to see the word atheist.
The group occasionally sets up a booth called Ask an Atheist on the plaza and local college campuses. And Sarah says the question that's most often asked is something like, where do atheists get their morals? It's something she says she's glad to explain.
For an atheist, this world is all we have. So I think a lot of atheists you'll find are really interested in social justice. And, you know, we kind of have to believe in humanity's ability to fix the world's problems through cooperation, science, and reason, because we're all we have. We can't appeal to any kind of a higher power. We have to appeal to each other and our ability to make things better as good as possible.
Hargreaves says philanthropy is actually one of the major goals of the Kansas City Atheist Coalition. They're a 501c3 nonprofit organization and were founded in part to give people a way to perform charity work without going through a religious organization.
As it is, if you want to do something, you know, if you want to help out at a food pantry, you're going to have to go to your local religious or, you know, church, you know, down the street. That's just kind of how it is right now. So we wanted to do something where people could, you know, have an outlet for their charitable desires through a secular, you know, non-religious organization.
Once a month, coalition members get together to do charity work. They've volunteered for Harvesters and the Humane Society and participated in a blood drive and AIDS walks. But even when doing charity work, they've found being an atheist can still make you unwelcome.
Anytime we go and volunteer anywhere, we make it known that we need to be able to wear our T-shirts, because it's obviously we want to, you know, do good for goodness' sake, primarily. But then it's really important to us to be able to do that as out, open atheist. And there's been not tons, but there's definitely been some organizations that we've reached out to that didn't, you know, were happy to have us as volunteers. But as soon as the issue of us wearing T-shirts that said the word atheist, you know, it's a deal breaker for some people. They don't want, they feel like that's, you know, upsetting or controversial or in some way inappropriate.
Back at the Overland Park Sheraton, the afternoon's workshops are over, and a handful of convention goers are hanging out in the hotel lobby. In a few minutes, the banquet dinner will start, followed by keynote speaker Nate Phelps. Thinking about the activism work she's done, group member Jennifer explains the approach a lot of atheists now take when talking about their ideas.
I feel like sometimes it's so contentious and it's so wrapped up in so much emotion that it's really difficult for some people to divorce themselves from the emotion of what the issue is and actually talk about it from a rational point of view. So sometimes those discussions, I just basically just kind of end up being like, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree on this one and kind of move on and see where we do agree and what's, you know. So because I would much rather live in a world where we can all get along rather than in a world where we divide ourselves from one another.
For Casey Currents, I'm Alex Smith.